And the choicest blessings of Allah Ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the opportunity to acknowledge these blessings, to recognize them. And we ask Allah to help us to make shukr for these blessings. And we beg Allah not to take away from us any of these blessings on account of our weaknesses and account of our disobedience and our ungratefulness and ingratitude. Respected friends and brothers, alhamdulillah, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful, comprehensive deen. Such a deen that covers all aspects of everyone's life on a daily basis. Our deen is not such that we need to have certain days whereby we need to commemorate or we need to remind and conscientize ourselves with regard to certain things. Deenul Islam is a religion in which we commemorate everything every day. When we commemorate our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, is not only on the month and the day that he was born. We, every moment of our life, alhamdulillah, are celebrating one or other aspect of his life. Because we've got sunnah in our life. When we are reading our salah, it's also according to the sunnah. When we are eating, it's also according to the sunnah. Why are we doing it according to the sunnah? Because the sunnah is that what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. And so we don't have one day where we talk about him and the rest of the 364 days we forget about him. No, my brothers. So every day we can talk about him also, but we put into our life. The same when it comes to the aspects relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience to Allah is an integral part of a person's life. In the same way, my brothers, we find when it comes to fulfilling rights of other people and us as living as human beings, we don't need a specific day or a specific time for us to now conscientize ourselves that what am I supposed to be doing in terms of fulfilling rights. So alhamdulillah, Tuesday we had a nice holiday, everybody slept in late. And we asked somebody, what is the public holiday? Some people started scratching their head. Somebody said, Heritage Day. They said, no, maybe it's Women's Day. Somebody, oh yes, Human Rights Day. So it was Human Rights Day on Tuesday. The day is gone, but we are fulfilling our rights every other day, my brothers, towards our human beings, our fellow humans, alhamdulillah, through the beautiful teachings of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made insan, human beings, like one entire body, that is interdependent. We cannot live a life where we cut away ourselves from other humans. We are social beings. And in order for us to lead a nice, good, easy and comfortable life, we necessarily have to depend on someone else. And someone else has to depend on us. We have to make our life easier by ensuring that we don't hurt the feelings of others, that we take due regard and consideration of people's feelings, their convenience, their emotions, and all the rest of that. If that can take place from all the bodies or all the elements or all the people that make up the human race, then my respected friends and brothers, this human race as we know it as one family will inshallah have a very harmonious existence on the face of this earth. And that is how it's supposed to be. We're not talking of Muslim rights and non-Muslim. That is also one part of it. We're talking as insan, we are supposed to be conscious at all times of other insan. Doesn't matter what is their background or what is their color, what is their religion or what is whatever. Then my respected friends and brothers, the problem that comes about is we somehow forget we are living in a family of human beings. We only start thinking, I'm only living around here. So we start focusing on the individual, on ourselves. So maybe individual in the sense of the individual himself or individual as an individual unit. Only my family, only my group. So we only worry about our rights. Now individualism is something that is very, very harmful and detrimental for the harmonious existence of the human race. If people become obsessed with their own individual selves, they will undermine, they will underrate, they will undercut the rights of others. And there is this belief that doesn't matter what are the rights of others, you must make sure your rights are fulfilled. So it becomes about my rights. I have a right to this. What about me? What about my rights? So that, my respected friends and brothers, is something that is incorrect. Yes, Islam is such a beautiful religion that it draws a balance between the rights of the individual, and then also it goes in levels and it spreads out towards the rights of other people also. So when it comes to the individual, Islam has taken cognizance of the individual himself and his body and his emotion, his spirituality, his reasoning, everything that's about him. There are certain rules and regulations, and there are certain teachings and things that Islam has actually put into place for the individual to ensure that the rights of himself as an individual are fulfilled. Then thereafter goes the next level, if you want to call it, that beyond the individual are his immediate family members. There are rights towards them. There are rights towards his parents. So he can't just worry about himself, but he's living with certain people around him. Towards his spouse, towards his children, towards his grandchildren, towards his extended family, his relatives. And then we find that it goes beyond that also. When it comes to fulfilling of rights and not only worrying about yourself and your family, the broader community, those people that are on the streets, those people that you interact with on a daily basis, those people with whom you share the road, those people with whom you share public places, they have got certain haq and certain rights which we are supposed to fulfill towards them. Those people that are our employees and those that are our employers, those people who we travel with side by side on a public transport system, for example. All those people, the one who is sitting next to us in a plane or in a train or whatever mode of transport we are using. Islam has got all those rights also documented and has got them written down in the Charter of Human Rights of Islam, alhamdulillah. So my respected friends and brothers, anyone sitting here like right now in this masjid has got rights that must be fulfilled towards him, and there must be rights which he is supposed to fulfill towards everyone else. And we know the famous saying that when we start fulfilling the rights of others, then automatically our own. I have a right to this, so yes, but what about the rights that other people have? And because of this continuous ignoring and taking for granted other people's rights, trampling over their rights, we find there is so much of animosity, so much of hatred and spirit of vengeance in the hearts of people. They want to fix other people up and they want to put them in their place because that person did something wrong to me. I need to sort him out. All of this comes as a result of us failing in our duty. So, my respected friends and brothers, if we have to look at the social responsibilities that Islam has placed upon us, and if we fulfill them in the backdrop of what is referred to as human rights, we, alhamdulillah, are so proud, and we can be so proud to say that I am with that deen and with that religion, that I can ensure total harmonious coexistence of the human race. And my respected friends and brothers, Islam has put such effective teachings and mechanisms into place for this entire thing. Human beings are not just some beings walking around, some unknown creatures. Every human being is within himself a valuable, a precious element on the face of this earth with self-respect and self-esteem. And he must be given that. He must be given that acknowledgement. By who? By other humans. Everyone would like to be spoken to be treated with respect. And therefore, my respected friends and brothers, if we are aware of that, just give that dignity, that human dignity to somebody else. We will, inshallah, go very, very far in ensuring the Islamic teachings and also being ambassadors of Islam. And now more than ever before, when we see continuous campaigns and concerted campaigns being waged to make Muslims look like bad, to make them look like terrorists, to make them look like bloodthirsty hounds, all of that in this day and age is our chance now to show a side of the real Muslim. So we have to be the real Muslim in ourselves. We have to be conscious that I have got the teachings of Islam and I've got the teachings of the Quran. And I need to let the people see that this is Islam. Not what the people are saying what Islam is. Or also not what some misguided people are making Islam to look like. That is also a sore reality. Some people, they do such horrendous and gruesome things in the name of Islam. We cannot take away lives of people. We cannot do to people, innocent people, just like that. You can't do to a dog, my brothers. You can't do to an insect. You can't take away the life of anybody. So sometimes, in ignorance, people do that. But that is not what Islam teaches, my respected friends and brothers. So now then, more than ever before, now, for us to bring out these teachings. And it's good to talk about it. But to ensure how much of it am I putting into my own life. How am I worrying about my own individual self to ensure that I am fulfilling those things that Allah Ta'ala has told me to fulfill. How am I towards my family? How am I towards my fellow human beings? And how am I treating, how am I looking at people? How do I regard people? We have a inbuilt sometimes negative outlook towards people. That just the way we look at them, our body language towards them will make them feel so belittled. All that is against the teachings of Islam. So this is the time. You know, we had read some beautiful accounts. One, not in our country, but just to show how beautiful Islam was highlighted. One woman was walking on the streets in New York and she was attacked by a group of thugs and they pounced on her. But somehow she managed to break loose and just then a taxi driver came past there. And he stopped the taxi, he opened the door and he told her to jump in, warded those fellows off, he got in the taxi and he drove off with her. But when she saw this fellow with a beard and he looks like a so-called the terrorist of the time, she thought, oh, from the frying pan into the fire. Now I'm going to see. Once he was out of the air, the danger zone, he asked her, non-Muslim, where are you going? Where can I take you? Is there any place I can take? So she said, yeah, I just need to go. She was in a bad state. I mean, can you imagine one of our mothers or sisters being attacked and being saved at that time and then seeing, now I'm with this taxi driver, what's going to happen now to me? Nevertheless, my brothers, he took her to her home. She gave the address, and all the time she's wondering, is this fellow going to even take me there? What is he going to do? He dropped her off. He got to the house. He opened, had the door opened up, and he called the family members. They also got a shock first and said, what did you do to our sister? Then she said, no, no, no. He saved me. And she wrote an entire article. And alhamdulillah, this was something so beautiful for us as Muslimin. One taxi driver also, not in our country, Muslim taxi driver, also in New York. When he gets into his taxi, or when he gets his passengers, the first thing he offers them, can I give you some cold water? Can I give you some drink? Can I give you something to munch from here to wherever you are going? It's not part of the taxi fare that I'm going to charge you. What beautiful akhlaq. So the non-Muslims, they wrote about this. Recently, one revert lady also from Britain, she says that in Britain, when we get in the taxis, alhamdulillah, most of the taxi drivers are Somalis. From Somali, they have come. Somali are Muslims. And the minute she says they sit in the taxi, they will just give us one of the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I look forward to a teaching experience when I get into one of these taxis. I am not aware that that was the situation in Britain, but I get to turn. And that was the cause of her becoming interested in Islam and finally becoming a Muslim, alhamdulillah. So what we are saying, my brothers, this is the opportunity with our speech, and more importantly, with our actions, the way we come across to the people on the other side, human beings, we treat them with the respect and the dignity that we are supposed to treat them with. So we find that starting with the individual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about wa nafsi wa ma sawaha, that the nafs, that self, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in each one of us, Allah takes a qasam on it, and Allah says, he who has perfected it, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, and Allah has inspired it towards the good and the bad. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Successful is he who has purified it, and unsuccessful and ruined is that person who has destroyed his nafs. So this aspect of purifying the self, you know, alhamdulillah, on Saturday we had such a beautiful gathering here. We had a sheikh here, and the talks and the entire theme of these type of gatherings is the purification of the self. how clean we are inside and how purified are we as human beings. So that's what the Quran is speaking about, the individual who has to ensure that he at all times acts in a manner that there is no dirt coming from him on other people. We respond with dirt sometimes to someone who is good, or we respond with dirt, because that's what we got in us, against those who are bad towards us. And if we got goodness in us, then no matter how that person responds, what is in us, goodness, purity, sincerity, humaneness, that is what our response is going to be. So that is one aspect where the Quran and Islam has told us, the individual has got a right, it is a haq that he must take care of his nafs. Then the body, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention of. We can't mess our bodies up. We can't overtax our bodies. We can't overburden them in the pursuit of worldly and material things. Sometimes we overdo it because we want to compete with somebody else, because we need to show somebody else a point, because we want to feel good that we got the biggest bank balance in the Swiss account. But in the process, we mess our health up. We mess our faculties up. We totally destroy ourselves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌ. There's a right there on your body also. So one is your nerves, your inner self. One is your outer. Your body has a right over you. Everything in moderation. وَلِعَيْنِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌ. Even your eyes have got a right over you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, look after that. There are a lot of other examples we can give on taking care. So we say it starts with the individual. Then after that, my brothers, we are supposed to be so conscious at all times that what is my relationship with my immediate surrounding and my family? How are we towards our parents? Are we talking to them with respect? Are we giving them the due acknowledgement? Or we just walk in, eat and walk out? We can't be cared whether they are in pain, whether they are in need, whether they are there, whether they have a need to talk. We don't care about these things. Or are we really showing that love and respect and softness towards them? Some people, they talk to their parents, but like how they would talk to their dog, or how they would talk to their, I don't know, whoever, slave. Even worse than that, the way they will address their parents, it is wrong. And then when it comes to the aspect relating to our partners and our spouses, both sides, women also must know how to talk to the men and vice versa. There is supposed to be respect and compassion between both of them, my respected friends and brothers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, khiyarukum, khiyarukum li ahli. The best amongst you is he who is the best towards his family. And family here specifically means towards their spouses. So we are supposed to ensure at all times how we come across. And those are the people who are the greatest challenge, we to them and they to us, because all the time, you know, the most important needs and the most important matters of our life are related to them. And going down, my brothers, all the other rights that Islam has given with regard to our children and with regard to our families, and then the extended families, silatul rahim, our blood ties, how often is it that it breaks up because of some worldly matter, sometimes because of inheritance, sometimes because of business partnership went sour, sometimes because somebody didn't get invited to a function or something like that. So all these things, my respected friends and brothers, we are supposed to be so cautious. It happens, it will happen. That is dunya. There will be fights, there will be misunderstanding, there will be greed, there will be pride. But we need to ask ourselves that what have I got in me in terms of goodness and purity to put the matter right? Or am I also just as low as the other person on that side who is acting in this manner? We don't have a need to act and become low and when we are not that. So always ask ourselves, what am I? Am I that? Or what have I got in me? And then inshallah, based on that, we will act and fulfill this particular human right. Then we go forward, my respected friends and brothers, beyond those aspects with regard to the family, to general Muslimin. We know the very famous hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a believer has got five rights upon another one. According to another hadith, six rights towards another believer. So he must greet him with assalamu alaikum. That word assalamu alaikum is not a conventional just greeting like everybody else does out of courtesy. It is a dua. You know, good morning, hi, hello, how are you? No. That is the starting point of us ensuring a beautiful bond of peace between us and our Muslim brother. As-salam, in name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It carries in it the essence of peace and harmony, my respected. It carries in it the essence of love. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it will create love between you and your Muslim brother. Just a salam, that is all. Wherever it might be, we recognize that it's one of the rights. And then going beyond that to the sneezing, subhanallah. We ask ourselves, where did this sneezing come? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if your Muslim brother sneezes, says, alhamdulillah, you must say, arhamukallah. There's some great link unknown to us at this point in time. What is the link and what is the right and how does it ensure a link of muhabbat between Muslim brothers to answer the fellow who has sneezed? Then obviously when he is ill, to visit him. When he gives you da'wat invitation, to accept that da'wat and the invitation. And obviously the last one is when he passes away, to attend his janazah. So it goes to the Muslimin. And beyond that, my respected friends and brothers, that's generally Muslimin. To our neighbors, not Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say Muslim or non-Muslim neighbors. It is so important that when we have an opportunity to show goodness and kindness to our neighbors on a daily basis, or when there are issues, for example, they have some problem, for us to be there as neighbors, not for us to be pest neighbors, troublesome neighbors, because again, we have violated an important human right as such, if we have not been good to our neighbors. And the list goes on to the others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about travelers, wabni sabil. Allah speaks of jari dil qurba, that neighbor of yours that is living next to you, wal jari al junub, and the neighbor that is a bit away, and was sahibi bil jambi, and your neighbor who or your companion who sits on your side. Most of the ulama have mentioned it means if you are with a traveling companion, make it easy for him, show him kindness and so forth. So what we are saying, my respected friends and brothers, is Islam has built into the system of our lifestyle such beautiful teachings that if we abide by it, inshallah, we will be the best ambassadors of Islam and we will be fulfilling human rights, most importantly, which we do on a daily basis. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us conscious and give us the opportunity to fulfill every right towards every creature, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day, each one is going to be questioned about how he had fulfilled his rights.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala salah. Hayya